My name is Audrey Knowles, formerly Kellett, and my father's name was Walter. My granddad Kellett was a lovely, lovable man that I can remember. We didn't see that much of him, really, but when Mum and Dad used to take us, he was always smiling, as I thought. He had sandy-coloured hair and a moustache. They lived in Hunslet on Beezer Street. He was father to 11 children. And my dad, there were five girls before him, and then he was the first boy to be born.
What was that house like on Beezer Street? How big was it?
Oh, it was only one room downstairs, and with a sink in the corner, a big sideboard on the wall, which I didn't like very much because it had a domed case with a dog in it, a stuffed dog in it.
And that scared you, did it?
That scared me because the eyes always seemed to be looking at me. I was only, you know, a child. And I was scared of this dog looking. I daredn't look, you know. It was Grandma's dog. She was always touched by this dog. It was, you know, the love of her life, I think, really.
So they had it stuffed and mounted?
Yes, yes. And this glass dome over the top of it, you know, which you could see it very, very clearly. The dog through the glass dome.
Do you know what your granddad did for a job?
He was an engineer. When he retired, he was a knocker-up. Used to knock people up in the morning for work. He slept in the chair all night. And it was just a wooden chair that he slept in. He got up very, very early in the mornings and went out with a long pole and used to knock people's bedroom windows with the pole to get them up for work. I believe it was my granddad's family that were water gypsies, so-called. They lived on the barges. They lived on a barge. And they only saw them when the barge pulled in at the nearest place of the canal. And I remember Dad telling me that they used to run down to where they were parked, because the horse used to pull the barge, and they used to go down to see them just when they got to that area. And one of his uncles, when being a little boy, drowned in the canal.
Tell me more about Beezer Street as you remember it. What was the street like?
It was like there weren't many houses in, very old houses, and they were, well, cottages really, and they it was just a row of, as I can remember, I think there were about six or seven houses. No, there wouldn't be any more because it was like a cul-de-sac. It was all cobbles and big flags, and of course the toilets were outside, just down the street, which were shared.
How did you get to Hunslet from Alton?
On the bus. We used to get off the bus at the bottom of Church Street and walk. I remember walking straight up, and it brought us up to Beezer Street.
What about your granny then in Hunslet? Is there anything you can tell me about her?
Yes. What I do remember vividly is she used to take snuff, which I've realised when I got older. I didn't know what it was at the time. I remembered her nose being brown at the ends, and I didn't like that. I didn't like looking at her. I thought it. She had a dirty nose, and it was brown. She used to put it at the end of her nose and sniff it up. I was so confused about that. Of course, I learnt about it, you know, when I became older. She did used to send Len and me to my brother to a pub with a jug and some pennies, and we used to have to get her some beer. When my dad met my mum, he was a widower. He'd been married before, and his wife had died very young, and they had two daughters, two little girls. And he met my mum, I think he met her through her brother. My mum's name was Winifred Foster before she married Dad. And she had three sisters, and the brother apparently was her stepbrother, because her mum had him before she was married. And then she married this Foster, and he left her with five children. My mother was the oldest girl. You know, she had to teach the younger ones and help with the younger children. And they went from pillar to post in houses. They lodged. I can't remember her ever telling me that they had a house of their own. They lodged with different people in Hunslet. They didn't have such a good life. My grandma was a very hard worker, and she died young. She died in her late 40s. But Mum was living at the time, before she met Dad, she was living with her Auntie Mary, who was very strict. And when she met my dad and started courting Dad, because he was 9 years older than Mum, and because he was a widower, her Auntie Mary didn't like him and didn't think that that was going to go right. She really didn't want her to marry him, but of course they loved each other and they wanted to get married. And they got married in a Catholic church, because Mum's family were Catholics, but Dad wasn't. But still they got married in a Catholic church. Auntie Mary says, "I'll go to the church first to make sure he's turned up." I think she thought he wasn't going to come. Anyway, they got married in the church in October of 1931. And then they lodged with a family who lived on Greenlee. At the end of Greenlee, they were called Cornish. And it was a funny thing, was this, because it was just one room, one biggish room downstairs where they had to live. And they drew a line in the middle. So Mum and Dad's was one half, and the Cornishes were the other half, bigger half, I imagine, because they had children as well. Charlie Cornish, as I knew him, was the elder one of our age group, but he had older brothers and sisters that we never used to see. And then Ernest must have been born around the same time as me, because I was born there at their house.
So did they have some sort of curtain between the two sides?
No, they didn't have a curtain. There was just this line drawn across the room. I don't think it was very long after I was born that the council gave Mum and Dad a house of their own. The reason they came to live in Oulton was because Dad was working at the Waterhague pit. He was a miner at that time. I loved the house. That house was lovely. Although it was a council house, it was big. A nice big room, living room, well, lounges they call them now, and also a little room and three bedrooms, a bathroom and a toilet, hot and cold water, which was really good, and a massive garden at the back, which looked onto a field the farmer used to grow vegetables in the field, and then at the side of the house, at the end, because we lived right up at the top of the end of Greenlee, and there was just two more houses next to us, and then cornfields, which we used to play in when we were little, and run about in the cornfields. It was lovely living up there. And then there was a front garden, which was much smaller. It was just such a lovely house. The doors leading onto the garden at the back were French doors. As you think of it now, it must have been really lovely. I loved it. We were all friends of Greenlee, all the children, and there was quite a few of us, and we were all children. We used to play outside, skipping, hopscotch, and all these games with the people across from us, and we were all just like a little community together. It was such a lovely place, and a safe place to live. There was kick-out camp, which was really like hide-and-seek in a way. You kicked a can out, and where the one person had to go find the can, and whoever found the can had to look for the people that had run off. All the others had run off and hid. And so that one who found the can had to go find the people who had got lost and hidden away. And then whoever they found, they'd eventually find someone. It was their turn next, you see. That was one big game. And we had skipping. We all skipped together with a big rope. You know, we learnt the skipping. And everybody used to take turns. And of course, hopscotch. You know, you jumped into squares, you hopped into squares. We used to find a flat tile, a nice slippy tile to throw, to slide in the squares that we'd made. We used to chalk squares and just play this game of hopscotch. One thing I used to love to do was to go down to school. We'd a long walk to school, right down a lane called North Lane, and we used to have a whip and top and draw a pattern on the top and have a whip and lash it, and it used to twirl round, and we used to do it all the way down to school. And we'd have races. The grown-ups would arrange for us to have races. And we'd run right round the green, which was ideal for a race for the children. Of course, they gave the winner a little prize. There was a man with a roundabout. We called it a whirligig. And he used to come. And we could take jam jars and rags to have a go on this roundabout. And there was like animals round a wooden plinth sort of thing and a hole in the middle, and he wound this big handle to make it go round. We loved it when he came round, and he used to go from one part of the village into Woodlesford, and which was that. That's another thing. We knew most of the people in Woodlesford. Alton and Woodlesford were together. But this man with the whirligig, we used to watch for him coming. Then there was a lady with an ice cream cart, horse and cart. She came round. She was an Italian lady but spoke very good English. And she was spotless clean with a lovely white overall on and black hair tied back in a bun at the back. And she came on her own driving this horse and cart.
Did you always get an ice cream when she came?
No, my mum couldn't always afford to get us an ice cream, so we had to do without. And you know, and then the milkman used to come round. There again, he had a horse and cart. I remember the big churns with the milk in, and we used to take a jug out, and he'd fill the jug with milk, because he used these, I think they were Jill, the size of them, a Jill metal container, always very, very shiny and clean, and he used to fill the jug of milk with that. Everybody used to come out to him on the green.
And were there any other people with horses and carts? Can you remember anybody else who brought things round on a horse?
Yeah, there was another man who, there again, you took him rags, and he had cups and dishes and earthenware things to sell. And you bought them with, if you had any money, or rags he would take in exchange.